a concept that we celebrate here in America, although we do celebrate it here in America. We are the land of the free, right? And we are proud to be the land of the free. But freedom is not just an American concept. It is a biblical concept. And my first point is that Christ died to set us free. Christ died to set us free. John 8, 31 through 36 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.' And they answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' And he answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Has anybody out there ever committed sin? Yeah, we've all done that. We're all in that predicament. We are slaves to sin. And Jesus says, you need to get free. You need to get free. And the way that we do that is to follow Christ. Abide in my word, and then you are my disciples. And you will know the truth of the gospel. And then the truth will make you free. Jesus wants us to be free. He died to set us free from sin. But then once we receive the gospel, once we receive that message, once we receive the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf, and we say, yes, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. And once we are set free from our sin, we must stay free. We must stay free. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Other versions say, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But the idea is that we were meant to be free from sin. Christ did not come down here and die on the cross so that we could agree that he died on the cross and then we could continue to live in sin. He came to set us free. And not just for one moment, in which we pray a prayer, but for the rest of our life. He wants us to be free, and ultimately for all of eternity. He wants us to be free. Free from sin. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." At our home, sometimes we talk about this concept of freedom. And if you're in prison, you're not free. Right? If you get out of prison, right, and now you're freed to be able to go about, do things, one of the choices that you have is to go back to prison. Right? One of the choices you have is to do evil again and go back to prison. But that's not freedom, right? Freedom is doing the good things that we are called to do. Freedom is not just doing anything. It's free to do the good things. And that's what Paul's saying. You've been called to liberty, to stay in that status of freedom. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity to serve your flesh, to go back to sin, but through love serve one another. So we have this spiritual freedom. Christ died to set us free. We also know of political freedom. Soldiers who died to set us free. We think of July 4th when we celebrate our Independence Day. And there was a war for independence. Many people died. Many people died to obtain our freedom. I want to share with you a letter from John Adams to Abigail Adams. This is a portion of it. It was on April 26, 1777. We declared independence 1776. So this is almost a year since then. Here's what he says. "I am wearied out with expectations that the Massachusetts troops would have arrived ever now at headquarters. Do our people intend to leave the continent in lurch? Do they mean to submit? Or what fatality attends them? With the noblest prize in view that ever mortals contend for, and with fairest prospect of obtaining it upon easy terms, the people of Massachusetts Bay are dead." Now, he doesn't mean actually dead. He means they're not doing what they should be doing. "Does our state intend to send only half or a third of their quota? Do they wish to see another crippled, disastrous, and disgraceful campaign for want of an army? I am more sick and more ashamed of my own countrymen than I ever was before. The spleen, the vapors, the dismals, the horrors seem to have seized our whole state. More wrath than terror has seized me. I am very mad. The gloomy cowardice of the times is intolerable in New England. Is it not intolerable that the opening spring, which I should enjoy with my wife and children upon my little farm, should pass away and laugh at me for laboring day after day and month after month in a conclave where neither taste nor fancy nor reason nor passion nor appetite can be gratified?" And he closes the letter with this phrase. He says, "Posterity, you will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make a good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it." Many people died so that we could be free. And freedom is a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Get free. Stay free. Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and to the Republic for which it stands. Miracles do not cluster, and what has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution, because if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the world. Daniel Webster. Samuel Adams said, brother John Adams, "A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy." A general dissolution of principles, our beliefs, and manners, our customs, the way we treat people, will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. John Adams put it this way: our Constitution is made for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate for any other. 1 Peter 2, 16 and 17 says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You were destined to be free. God created you to be free. But we must get free and stay free. What does that mean? What does freedom mean? What does it mean to be free? We're going to quickly look at two aspects of freedom that I think we could take everything and put it under one of these two categories. One is freedom from sin. Romans 6, 1 through 4 says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? God will forgive me if I just pray and ask Him to forgive me, so it really doesn't matter if I just continue to live in sin." By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. When we are set free from sin, we should have a new purpose in our life. It's not to continue to live as slaves to our passions and desires. But to walk in newness of life, a new purpose, a new plan, freedom, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The other one is freedom from oppression. Proverbs 14:31, "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker." God created us not to be oppressed, but to be free. And those who oppress are a reproach to God. But he who honors him has mercy on the needy. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Whether it is oppression, sin that has been put upon us, other people's sin who's been put upon us, or whether it is our own sin, God wants us to be free. And many people, most importantly Jesus, have sacrificed greatly so that we could be free. So I would encourage you this Memorial Day, as we think about those who have sacrificed, as we go out and enjoy the liberties that we have, and I hope you do enjoy the liberties that we have, remember those who have sacrificed, and remember that we need to stay free. We need to stay free in our spiritual lives. We need to stay free in our government. We need to stay free in our economics. We need to be free. And it's worth fighting for. It's worth dying for. Let us close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we live in a nation that has a great heritage, a wonderful heritage of freedom. People who loved liberty, who loved you, and recognized the tyranny of their day. And they fought against it. Lord, there is so much tyranny in our land today, so much sin that besets us. Lord, I pray that each one of us would begin that fight in our own lives. Begin the fight of giving control back to you. To stop serving our lusts. To stop serving our desires that take us away from what you want us to do. Lord, I pray that in our own lives first, we would remember that we are to serve you first and foremost. We are to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to put away the sins, the emotions, the habits that carry us away from you. And then, Lord, I would pray that we would do that in our families. Lord, that we would rid our families of oppression, of sin. Lord, that we would be free. That we would give our kids not only an example, but a taste, a desire for liberty in their lives. Lord, that we would spread that to our communities, to our state. And Lord, that our country would rekindle that love for liberty. Lord, that we would recognize all the sin in our life, all the oppression that has come upon us because we have not sought to be obedient to your word. Lord, I pray that our love for our neighbor would help us to realize that freedom is worth the sacrifice. And Lord, you gave us that example first and foremost in dying for our sin on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.